going on. I got the giggles.
Do you want me to do it?
Do you want to do one? This'll throw him for a loop.
This will throw him for a
Go
loop.
for it.
Okay. Welcome to 3 out of 3 Falls, a wrestling.
I knew it. I knew it.
You fucking got me. Do it, Joe.
Okay. Welcome to 3 out of 3 Falls, a wrestling podcast where your hosts watch and discuss 3 matches. One chosen by each of your hosts, and one chosen by the random match generator. I am Joe.
Hey, my name's Jason.
And boy, do we have some picks for you this week.
We got a doozy.
Oh man, this is so we're recording this. This will be posted the day after WrestleMania 33. We are recording it before. Sorry to break kayfabe, which for listeners who don't know what that means, it's keeping in storyline.
It's still real
Working
to
all the
me, damn
time.
it.
Yeah, so this is pre-taped. Well, I guess fortunately for us, because we can edit it
Fortunately.
and stuff.
Yeah, fortunately.
Depending on how much of we leave in of what just came before this introduction, you'll see that plenty of editing is done. But WrestleMania 33 is coming up, and we've got one WrestleMania match to discuss tonight from a
Oh,
previous
yes, we do.
WrestleMania.
We do. And we have another match that is a result of the main event of WrestleMania 1.
Oh, there you go. That's a good segue, Jason. I think we can use that to go right into talking about that match. You're not
All right.
talking about the WrestleMania
No.
27 match.
No.
That's what I
I'm
thought. See?
not. No.
I
No,
thought
I'm
you were
talking.
talking about match number one, your pick.
Hulk Hogan versus Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff in a steel cage match for the WWF Championship from Saturday night's main event number 9, January 3rd, 1987. So,
Is this
did you? No, go ahead. What do you got for me, Joe?
the first time a cage match has been broadcast on network television?
True, correct. And it's the big blue fucking aluminum
Wobbly
baseball
cage.
bat wobbly cage.
The squeaky wobbly cage that I love.
I think that this may be. This isn't the debut because they had it for WrestleMania 2.
It's this network television debut.
It's the first network television, but I couldn't remember if they had used the big blue cage in WrestleMania 2 or not, but they did. So,
Yeah.
but as I was saying, so this match was a result of kind of the build and events that take place after WrestleMania 1. So Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff was Rowdy Roddy Piper's like BFF, him and Cowboy Bob Orton, and they wrestled in the main event of WrestleMania 1 against Hulk Hogan and Mr. T. So, Piper and Orndorff lost to Hogan and Mr. T, and Piper was really upset because he felt like Orndorff cost them the match. So, Piper and Cowboy Bob Orton turn on Paul Orndorff. Who comes to Paul Orndorff's rescue but Hulk Hogan? So, Hulk Hogan and Orndorff become best buds and tag partners, they're both from Florida, so they were, familiar with each other before they got into the business. So they were actually kind of buds with each other. They were just, hanging and banging, as the Hulkster would say. And
Not a good phrase.
not a good phrase, but one that he used often. So Orndorff and Hogan, tag team partners, main evented a lot of events. But slowly but surely, there was some jealousy coming into the mix
Because
where. Go ahead.
this is a result of WrestleMania 1, you just said. That's nearly 2 years before this match takes place.
Yes.
This is
No, no, no.
a long build.
It's a slow fucking build. So basically, what happens is that it gets to the point where, Hogan is busy because he's the WWF champion and he's blown off going to work out with his best bud, Paul Orndorff. Orndorff's getting pissed. You know, it's many vignettes of this on WWF TV over months.
Hogan's a bad
And
friend.
he's a bad friend. And finally, there's a tag team match where Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy are facing Hulk Hogan and Paul Orndorff. And Orndorff turns on Hogan. And people were pissed. Now, as a result of this, Hogan and Orndorff are leading towards a huge match. It was in Toronto. It was at I think it was a closed circuit television event called The Big Event, where they set an outdoor attendance record in Toronto to see Orndorff versus Hogan. Now, one thing that I wanted to point out is that in the middle of this build, in the middle of like they're leading towards this big match, Paul Orndorff gets injured. He suffers a nerve injury in his, I believe, left
That
arm
was
lifting.
before this?
This is before this.
I think it's his, is this the one that in the years later would shrivel the whole half of his body? It's his right arm.
Yes, it caused his arm to atrophy. So if you notice, he's wearing two elbow pads in this match to kind of
You know,
mask the loss of the mass in the arm that is injured. But people asked him years later, like, why didn't you get surgery and get that fixed? And he was like, dude, I was main eventing with Hogan. It was the payoff of everything that I had ever worked for. I was in the main event. I was going to get paid. Fuck it. Let's ride this out.
Bad choice.
Bad choice, because one
Also,
arm is like considerably smaller than the others. Whenever, definitely when he was in his WCW run.
yeah, so I watched actually like a late WCW clip of him coming back and trying to like do a move to some young guy and are getting knocked out. It's really sad.
He
We're
got a
not
stinger.
gonna.
He did a pile driver and he got a stinger.
Yeah, and the right side of his body is pretty rough.
Yeah.
I was gonna say when I was watching this, I thought this was before the atrophy, but
No.
the first thing that I, spoiler alert, Joe liked a match. But the fir one of the my nitpicks about the match was he kept doing these like driving forearm elbow things, and they
With
looked
his
so
bad arm.
wimpy. He
With his
would
bad
do them,
arm.
yeah, or both, you know. But for some reason, I was like, those forearm elbow things look super wimpy. Why is he doing that? And he does like five in the first 2 minutes of the match,
Yeah.
you know, where he's sorry,
Driving
he
elbow.
drives down with his elbow, and I was like, man, that's weird for a jack guy to do that move because it looks so weak. But he's not just any jacked guy; he's a nerve damaged jacked guy.
He's Mr. Wonderful.
Less, a little less wonderful with that nerve damage. Man, that was a mean thing to say. I apologize, Mr. Orndorff. Like he's in the room here. See, Paul, sorry about that, man.
So this match is actually, this is the blow off of the entire feud
This is done.
because
This is it?
this is it. This is fucking it because it's January 87. They got to move towards Andre and Hogan.
Yes. This match is jam-packed with shenanigans.
Yeah.
The blow-off match
You
is
got a
just full of shenanigans. Normally, the first match is full of shenanigans, and then
No.
you end with a shenaniganless match, right? Isn't that
No.
regular booking? I
That's
don't know
standard
what the hell. I'm
booking,
not a
but
booker.
this is for maximum drama, maximum television.
Yes,
This is
it
the
is.
epitome
It's
of
pure
a Saturday
TV.
night's main event match. First of all, the old Saturday night's main event theme, it brought chills to me.
Let's talk about how the show opens because this match is the first match
First fucking match.
on the show.
Yeah.
The intro to the show is amazing and it ends. Well, maybe it doesn't end with Hogan in the cage, but Hogan cuts a promo in the cage
Yeah.
and it's out of control. And then They
He's
other people do.
coked out. He's coked out, and
He
he's like, "I
is.
like it here. I like it in the cage."
Yeah, everyone's like, "Oh man, Hogan, what's Hogan gonna do?" Because the bad guy is supposed to have the leg up in the cage, which is, what do they say? The steel cage is the most brutal arena in human competition. It is the last resort, man. I think that's a Hogan line.
If it has man at the end of it, then
Yeah.
yes.
And also, I forget which commentator says this, but the year before this, I believe that would be 1986, Hulk established himself as the finest practitioner ever in steel cage competition. So,
That's probably McMahon in reference to WrestleMania 2, where he fought
yeah.
King Kong Bundy in a steel cage match.
You know, it might have been Gene talking to Hogan leading him because, so, okay. There's an opening to the show, great music. People are cutting promos. And the other people that are in matches are pre-recorded promos. Then they go to Orndorff and Heenan talking to so Bobby Heenan is Paul Orndorff's manager. He is
Oh, yeah.
in this match. We're going to get to him. Previously on this podcast, we've talked about how I mean, previously everywhere everybody has talked about Bobby Heenan being the coolest person in the world. So that's still a thing. But we get him and Orndorff briefly talking to Gene, Mean Gene in the back. They come out. I Orton or Orndorff Orton Orndorff comes out to Hogan's music, which
Yeah, he
they
does.
later explain that he stole Hogan's music, which is hilarious and plays a part later in this match that's fantastic.
Exactly.
And then they cut back to Hogan being interviewed by Mean Gene, and Hogan looks absolutely nuts. He is terrifying. Good guy wholesome Hulk Hogan is so much scarier than Hollywood Hulk Hogan the villain ever was. His eyes are bulging, he's shaking and staring. He looks like he's gonna eat a human leg or something, just rip it apart. He's frothing at the mouth. The guy is out of control. It was amazing. I'm not saying this is like he should be a bad guy, blah, blah, blah. It was amazing.
He was intense because of steroids and cocaine. And
And
a national TV audience.
I also want to throw in another ingredient to that cocktail of fun. And it's pure character, man. That guy.
Oh, yeah. No, pure
We
character.
can't take any talent away from the dude, you know?
Yeah.
That was amazing to be able to turn it on like that and just go, man.
Pure charisma. So this match was
You
kind of
don't
like a.
get that far. Look, I mean, he's a huge person, but he's a scary, bald man with weird, just a weird, he just looks bizarre. And I don't think you get to be the biggest star in wrestling ever, and as a good guy, without pure charisma, if that's what you look like, you know? It's like when
True.
we were talking about how nowadays it would be really hard, I think, for Phil Collins to become one of the biggest pop music stars ever. For a short, balding guy, right?
Yeah.
Who's crooning. I don't think that's just not how pop works nowadays, really.
No.
But back in the 80s was a different time, you know. Anyway, continue
All
with
you
what
had
you're
to
saying.
be was charismatic. I mean, there are a lot of stars who didn't maybe work rate wise, didn't deserve the kind of pushes that they got, but since they were so charismatic, that's what they got.
It still
In this case,
happens.
Hogan,
It
you
still
know?
happens, but I feel like work rate aside, there's like a look. They're always talking about the look, you know? And
Sure.
even you look at someone like Enzo Amore, right?
Yeah.
He is not your prototypical Vince McMahon body build, right? But he still has a look, you know? He's not ugly. He has a very manufactured aesthetic, and it's fun to watch in a way that, you know, Phil Collins probably is not. No offense to Phil Collins. I think he's amazing. But you know what I'm getting at?
Which,
Like, the 80s, I
I
mean, we talk about Dusty all the time, as you know, that Dusty Rhodes was a heartthrob. Women throughout the country wanted to bang him.
He's man of the hour, too sweet to be sour.
I know. And for a lot of people who didn't watch wrestling ever, when they are watching wrestling with me and they see Dusty Rhodes, they're just so confused. And you have to explain, you gotta say, you gotta watch, but you gotta understand that maybe it was a different time, like it's not, can you imagine Dusty Rhodes having ladies lining up at the airport to see him in 20, if he were in his prime in 2017?
Dude, it's Dusty Rhodes. I could
He does,
imagine
yeah,
that.
you're right, you're right. He does, pure charisma is what we're talking about. Pure charisma. I'm glad we were able to, discover, just have this scorching hot take that Hulk Hogan is a charismatic man. I apologize.
True. So this match is kind of a like a it's a punch kick affair. You know, I picked this match because I wanted to see something when like good guy Hogan was at his peak. Like I felt like this is he's jacked, he's intense. He's not like lazy. He's not doing lazy matches. He's like he's still got the fire and enthusiasm of the nationwide spread of the WWF as an entity at this time. Because this is all pre-Mania 3, which is like the apex.
Hulkamania
So
is lighting a fire under him.
it is, it is, it is. So the kind of schmoz in the middle of this match is that, punch kick, driving elbow,
Let's back up. I want to say a thing about punch kick matches.
Sure.
I feel like trying to watch a whole pay-per-view of old punch kick matches nowadays could be boring. Not
Have you
everyone has.
ever watched WrestleMania 2? Because that's what that is.
Probably not since I was 3 years old. So, no. But here's what. Halfway into this match, it's not a super long match. It's not short, but it's not super long.
No.
Halfway, maybe even less than halfway, they are like brutally beaten and exhausted. That's what they're selling. And I was buying it. Something about how they moved and how they sold the impact of every punch and kick and how they stomp around just their like mass made me believe it, and it made me believe that all the moves that they were doing, which are like punches and kicks and elbows and throw a guy to the cage, kind of, and an atomic drop, maybe, It made me believe that those moves were taking the toll on the opponent that nowadays 20 crazy maneuvers would barely do, You can get 2 minutes into a match in 2017 and have more holds and moves, technical moves done, suplexes, whatever,
Sure.
than they do in this entire match.
Yeah.
But and then the guys just back up running around, 20
Yeah.
minutes into a match, they could, a guy could have gone through the encyclopedia of suplexes, and the other dude is half as groggy as Hogan and Orndorff are 4 or 5 minutes into this match. But for some reason, I believe it. It totally worked for me. I was never like, what are these dudes doing? I was just
What are
like,
these two
man,
jack
who's
dudes
going to
doing?
get to that door and what's going to happen? Because you've got backing up from the ultimate shenan in the middle of this. We've got referee Joey Morella is
Oh shit.
the main the sanctioned official in this match. He is the official who has been appointed to referee this match. You've got Bobby the Brain out there by the door. And you've got a second official, Danny Davis, who, well, he was a wrestler, right? And
So
then.
here's the thing with Danny Davis is that he was like a crooked ref.
Yeah.
He was a heel ref. He got fired from being a ref, but hired as a wrestler.
Yeah. But he
It
was
was
a
an
crooked
instant.
ref for years, right?
Oh yeah, even after he quote unquote retired from wrestling and went back to being a ref, announcers would still bring up the fact of, oh, I don't know where Davis stands on this.
Yeah.
He's still shifty. You remember him,
Here's
you know.
how in its prime WWE is at this time. Almost anyone watching this match would know who Danny Davis is, and they might probably know Joey Morella by name. Two refs are established characters
Yep.
in one match.
Yep.
More people in this time probably knew who Joey Morella was than people know who Apollo Crews is now. That was so mean. I
Not
apologize to Apollo Crews. But you know what I
fucking
mean?
true.
Like,
Not
holy
fucking
shit,
true.
you know?
Yeah, no. Character development was really strong at this time.
So
Extremely strong.
every time someone goes to the door, cage match, for people listening who don't know what a cage match is, you're locked in the cage and you win by making it out the door of the cage, which is normally locked, but as someone approaches, they unlock it and open it. The referee does. Or you can climb over the top of the cage, down, and both feet have to touch the ground. Then you win.
In both cases, both feet have to touch the
Yes,
floor.
you're right. Getting out the door, both feet. So if you're crawling out the door and your hands are touching the ground, but your feet
Still
aren't,
doesn't.
and they grab your feet and pull you in, you're back in the match. So the thing about this is, whenever Orndorff comes to the door, Heenan and Danny Davis are just like, the door is obviously unlocked immediately. But when Hogan gets to the door, Heenan and Danny Davis are like distracting and pushing away Joey Morella, and Hogan's like, I can't get out.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. They do it a couple times and it totally works. And then there's a point at which both Hogan and Orndorff climbing over opposite sides of the cage, Jason.
Yep. They are. And basically it's a race. It's a race to see whose feet are going to touch the floor first. And
They both get to the
they
bottom.
both
They
get to the
both
bottom.
land.
Both feet, both of their feet touch the floor at the same
Well,
time,
we think so.
and then Hogan's music plays, and you don't know who won.
Because they both use Hogan's music, it's brilliant. And
And since
they both are convinced that they won.
there's two referees, each referee is naming
Yes.
each participant as the winner.
They both get their hands
Perfect,
raised.
perfect fucking schmoz finish in the middle of the match. Perfect. We have to cut to commercial. Fucking, like, it's baiting you in to keep watching. Be like, what the fuck just happened? Who's gonna win?
It's so
What
great.
happens?
It's like a picture perfect shenanigan,
It
right?
is.
It's
It's a
so
picture fucking.
hilarious. When did Orndorff steal Hogan's music? Was it like months before this or weeks? So
Yeah,
it's
he was
like,
like,
you
oh,
think they
I'm.
had that idea, steal his music, we'll blow this off with a cage match in 3 months, and you'll both land, and Danny will raise Orndorff's, and Joey will raise. Oh man, it was great. I was
Yeah.
cracking up.
Now, here's the thing
It's
with
a
most.
tie. They call it a tie.
Yeah, it's a
In a
tie.
steel cage match, can't end in a tie,
Cannot
apparently.
end with a tie.
So, of
So
course, the match continues.
it does continue. Now, one thing that I will say about most of the Saturday night's main event shows
Ended in
is that
ties.
no, they were kind of representative of what the house shows were at that time.
Okay.
So this is probably like the 25th steel cage match that Hogan and Orndorff had had.
Yeah.
And they usually timed the TV taping around the end of that run
Okay.
of house shows so that the matches were really tight. And that way, you know, it's not like they're going to continue this feud onto the house show circuit. It's pretty much, it's run its course. Now it's time for the people who didn't see it on the house shows to see it on the TV show.
Yeah.
So the match restarts.
And
No, go ahead.
when the match restarts, both competitors have to be in the ring with both feet touching the floor of the ring. Because I was like, why doesn't Orndorff just jump right out? Because he goes in second, and Ventura clarifies. He has to be
Yeah,
fully in
and
the ring.
it's got
It's
to be
like, that's
fully in the
great.
ring. There's, you know, a nice Hulk up from Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
He
Oh,
takes
I want to say real quick.
Orndorff's. No, go ahead.
I like that the shenanigans also allows them to get some outside the ring action going during the middle of a cage match, which is pretty
Yeah.
interesting and breaks up the pace of the match, like adds a different visual element to it, a different energy.
Yeah,
Sorry.
and also it facilitates them being able to injure Danny Davis so that he's taken
Yeah.
back, and now
Vince McMahon is thrilled that Danny Davis is being carried out.
he is. But this allows for one, impartial referee, Joey Morella, who is Gorilla Monsoon's son in real life, to be the ref who calls the match. So, they get back in. Orndorff does some shit. Hulk hulks up, does a great fan baiting head smash.
Oh, we get blood on network
You
TV.
get blood on network TV, smashes Orndorff's head into each side of the cage.
Yeah,
Like, does the fucking ear and
the cage
ask
is
them
shaking and
if
squeaking.
they want to fucking see his head go into the cage, and he fucking does. And then we get the big leg drop. Hogan tries to exit. Heenan gets into the
He
cage.
elbows Joey Morella out of the way, runs in, eats an atomic drop.
Eats an atomic drop and a huge fucking bump into the cage. Then Hogan goes over the top. Hogan's your winner.
I like that as Hogan goes over the top, Orndorff is crawling to the door and he almost makes it. I like that it was at least close, right? Yeah, man, what a wild ride that was. That
It
was a
was.
classic match. Even, yeah, I just, that was really fun to watch.
Good. I'm glad you
You know
enjoyed it.
what made me, what one thing that made it really fun to watch, and I've got like the surface element of this, which is a bunch of quotes, and the but I want to talk about like kind of a deeper thing that really is fascinating, is the commentary.
Oh yeah, it's Vince McMahon and Jesse the Body Ventura.
Yes. So Jesse Ventura is hilarious. For anyone who doesn't know what Governor Ventura was like as a wrestling commentator, he was fantastic. He
He was.
says
He was really good.
Hogan comes in and tears his shirt off, and Ventura goes, "What a show of strength on the part of Hogan, McMahon. He can tear a t-shirt."
Yeah, man.
And
Fucking Ventura was the best.
God, he
Ventura is the
says,
fucking best.
when you said when Hogan's ramming his head into Orndorff's head into the ring, he says,
Yeah.
"I guess ramming someone's head into the cage is what the All-American should do, right, McMahon?" He's like cracking me up. But you also have Ventura clarifying why Orndorff can't escape immediately. You have, and even more so than that, Ventura calls out Hogan choking Orndorff with his headband. But you have McMahon, instead of going, "There's no rules, and he has to win." Like, choking someone with a headband is legal in a steel cage match.
It is no holds barred.
Exactly. But McMahon doesn't say that's legal. He says he pretends he doesn't see it.
Yeah,
And Ventura's like,
because he's got a big fucking chubby for Hogan. That's like all they
yes.
fucking talk about.
And Ventura's constantly saying, "Your champion," kind of a meta jab, to
Oh yeah,
Vince.
total meta jab.
But here's the thing that is really fascinating to me. The history of big good guys doing dastardly things to the bad guy. Getting a huge cheer. The good guy commentator, whether he's a straight man or a total good guy, ignoring or conveniently interpreting that, while the bad guy commentator is momentarily right. The bad guy commentator who's been saying shitty stuff all match, defending the bad guys cheating, rooting for complete jerks, right? All of a sudden is the truthful one. There's something to that, something to the psychology of that. The reason they keep doing it is because it always works, right? And it says something to people out there who want to see, they want to root for someone who's like morally right, but they want to see that morally right person give it back to the jerk, eye for an eye,
Oh
that
yeah.
shit.
Oh
And
yeah.
Hogan is classic for doing eye pokes and back rakes.
Oh yeah,
And the
to
lead up to
be.
this match is him being a shit friend to his buddy, leaving him in the
Exactly.
dust for pure fame and adulation of the crowd, and then
Yeah.
his buddy getting mad, and the buddy is the bad guy, So it's like the values of the good guy I'm not saying he's the bad guy here. I'm just saying, like, that's a very interesting psychological thing that wrestling did back then and continues to do to this day.
Well, shall we move on?
I wanted to say one more thing here very quickly.
Sure.
This
Sure.
booking, all of the shenanigans, the Hogan is the ultra powerful guy who can just get up and shake everything off and Hulk up. They still need to throw the kitchen sink at him to try to win. And
Oh,
he
yeah.
still just wins, right?
Because technically, he beat three men because he had to beat Orndorff
Yeah.
and Danny Davis
Yeah.
and fucking Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yeah. But there's two things here. There's the fact that it is fun and entertaining and kind of goofy. You've got Heenan, you've got the ref shenanigans, you know, and it's portrayed in like a fun-loving light, even though it's a brutal cage match. And Orndorff still almost wins.
Yeah.
Those things set this apart from what we see today as Roman Reigns booking, or what people saw a few years ago, and especially a few years more than that, as John Cena booking, right? I didn't watch during that era
Yes.
of Cena, but like
Oh man, it's fucking brutal.
you watch a Roman Reigns match where they throw everything at him, shenanigans after shenanigans, right? And he overcomes everything, but he's straight-faced and serious, you know? And there's no element of fun to it, of goofiness or of fun. At least Cena had that a little bit, you know?
A little
And
bit. It
then
was just it was just that Cena just his like litany of
it just went
heels
on
to take
forever.
on was just too small. It was like he was either fighting Edge or JBL or Randy Orton. And they
Yeah,
would just,
repeat it.
you know, it was just a
Yeah.
fucking just a loop.
But I think also, like, Reigns pulls out all the stops to beat someone, and then he just pins him. He just beats him, you know? Like,
Yeah.
here, all the stops are pulled out, and you're laughing and cracking up, and on the edge of your seat, oh, what's going to happen, you know? And you're happy and having fun, and Hogan wins. He still gets to do his Hulk up thing and just destroy, no sell, all these punches, and just in the pure cartoonishness of it. Orndorff still almost gets out, you know? In being shitty, ineffectual bad guys, well, that's the thing. They're not ineffectual. Like, they almost managed to do it, and they still, you come out of that liking. I came out of this liking all of them more, you know?
No,
They cracked me up,
totally.
they entertained me. Whereas, like, when Roman Reigns pins Braun Strowman clean or pins Rusev clean, and I like Roman Reigns. I'm just like, that's not as fun. It's not as fun for me, you know? And I am just bummed out for the bad guy. I was not bummed out for Mr. Wonderful here, and I don't think I would have been in 1987 watching this on TV.
Well, one thing that I wanted to point out was that this was at the time where the kind of challengers that Hogan would take on were not just big, tall, like huge comic book like style characters. It wasn't just big fat dudes or like a big tall person. It was a little bit of everything, which I think that that's something that kind of gets lost in the shuffle when you think about who Hogan actually feuded with in the WWF. I mean, you have someone like a Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. You have Roddy Piper, who's not
Yeah.
like a huge jacked dude. He's just evil. You have Macho Man Randy Savage. You have Ultimate Warrior. You have Sergeant Slaughter. Like, you just have people who are extreme characters. Like, their characters, their charisma is large.
Yeah.
It's not just a big, tall, like, behemoth
Well, these
person. It's
people
not
are
like
all big, though.
every person is like Earthquake or
Back
like
then,
Akeem or something like that.
yes, but back then,
Do you,
they're
yeah.
all large. But the way I'm hearing what you're saying is that I think now, I'm always arguing. We had a thing at the beginning, one of the early episodes, where I talked about like Neville versus Lesnar. I can
Oh,
imagine
yeah.
Neville beating Lesnar, right? I can imagine Sami Zayn beating Brock Lesnar somehow. You know,
Yeah.
I can, if you write the story well enough, anything can happen. That's
Yeah.
how Rey Mysterios are born. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People have this idea of Hogan only fighting these, you know, built up monsters. And you're saying that's not the case. The caveat
It's
to
not
that
the
is
case.
back then, all of the guys you listed as not being monsters would be monsters now. Almost. Sergeant Slaughter is a huge man. You know?
True, true, he is, but he's
Compared
not
to
like.
Daniel Bryan.
True, 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 but he's also not just like a stereotypical like
Large
Big
man.
Show large man. It's like all different
Well,
shapes
and
and
that's the same thing.
sizes.
A Rey Mysterio, sorry, is a character. Has a debatable amount of charisma. All the small guys who make it big, you know, are making it big off of some inherent charisma, some character, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's I don't know, that's a really good distinction for you to make. It's not just big giant guy. It's not that they're big and giant. It's
Yeah,
that they
it's
are well-defined characters, you know?
yeah.
Whether it's
Yeah.
a character that you can explain in a couple words, like Sergeant Slaughter, a drill sergeant who turns his back on America and has a growly voice, a really funny growly voice. That's pretty much Sergeant Slaughter, right?
Yep.
Or someone whose character is less describable in a sentence, you know? Like explaining Rowdy Roddy Piper, I think that would be hard to convey accurately in one sentence, you know?
Well, yeah, he's too multidimensional of a
Yes.
character.
But still, when you watch him in a segment or two, you instinctively understand it. You don't have to verbalize who his character is.
True.
It's just as well developed and totally inhabited by the man as Sergeant Slaughter is. You're not like,
Yeah,
I'm confused
totally.
by Roddy Piper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do
Well,
you want to
speaking
talk
of
about a bunch of characters that are not well defined or inhabited? Sorry, that was.
I was gonna say, speaking of confusion,
Yes, that's and I take that back because Beth Phoenix is a pretty believable character, the Glamazon. Let's get to that in a second. Do you want to talk about match two? Okay, match number two was my pick this week. Kelly Kelly and Maria Menounos versus Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres from WrestleMania 28, April 1st, 2012. How did I get through saying that when I couldn't get through saying Scotty Riggs versus Raven on the last episode?
I don't know, man.
What the hell?
I don't know. I think that what it is, I think
My
you're.
deep love for Maria Menounos?
It is. Joe's girlfriend is in action here.
No, not my girlfriend. And I want to say, first off, Jason knows me and knows that I'm not that big of a creep. But the listener may not. So everything that I say about Menounos on this podcast is in jest. And I respect her as a talent and a human being. And I think she's just a legit pretty cool. That said,
Actually, just before we head into what you're saying, it is pretty cool that she's even doing something like this. Like she actually seems like a legitimate
she's a
fan.
legit fan. She'll, you know, she didn't she induct Bob Backlund into the Hall of Fame?
Did she really? I
Pretty
didn't
sure.
know
She's a
that.
huge Bob Backlund fan.
That's awesome. Dude, Bob Backlund has a terrifying voice.
Yeah. I mean, as a viewer, I always thought he was relatively terrifying. But in like a good way. But
Two-time world champion.
Maria Menounos, again, everything I said about Phil Collins earlier is relevant here, right?
True. But dude, Backlund's fucking character in the mid-90s where he snapped and fucking
Yes.
after Bret Hart,
Well,
that was
that's
great.
the
Anyway.
character I mostly know. Okay, Maria Menounos is a legit wrestling fan who loves wrestling, and she wanted to be involved here. She's not just a every WrestleMania they try to involve a celebrity, or they do in some way, and very often they're in a match, and or some sort of physical interaction, encounter, conflict with wrestlers. And this is something that she probably loved doing, and I feel bad for her because she's injured. She had injured her feet or ankles, I believe, and
Yeah, it's
she
ankle.
had broken ribs, and from Dancing with the Stars, I believe. And
Shit.
they tell you this on commentary.
Yeah.
So she's not a wrestler, and she's wrestling injured, multiple injuries, you know.
Yeah.
Bummer, you know. But anyway, my mom really was hoping that I would somehow meet and date Maria Menounos because we're Greek, and my mom watches, you know, TV
She
shows that
watches
Maria,
Extra. She watches Extra.
big fan, and she'd always be
Cool.
like, "Well, why don't you meet that Maria Menounos? She
Yeah,
likes wrestling, you know." And I'd be like, "Oh, believe me, I know." But she, you know, and Maria Menounos, I believe, is engaged, if not married at this point, which I believe in the sanctity of marriage and respecting a person's choices, you know, especially in romantic partners. So I would never do any. I don't know where I'm going with this. I picked this match because last week Jason mentioned Maria Menounos. Not last week, last
yeah.
episode. He
Last
mentioned
episode.
Maria Menounos and how much I like Maria Menounos whenever she shows up on the screen, and I said, fine, I'll pick a Maria Menounos match this time, where you know this will come out right around the time of WrestleMania, and so it'll be timely because we'll be talking about a previous WrestleMania. Those are my reasons.
Did you like this match, Joe?
Let me talk about it a little bit more. That tends to help. So here's the thing.
You've got
This
Maria,
match,
who's the TV star. She's in
this
her
is,
Greek ring attire. You have Kelly
yeah.
Kelly, the exhibitionist.
You know, Kelly Kelly is not super. Speaking of charisma, here's an example of someone who inhabits no character, and maybe doesn't have that much charisma. Beauty. Perhaps not that much charisma in this event, right? Let me back up here. One more bit about Menounos. She comes out. These entrances are fucking no nonsense fast for a Mania, right?
They are.
2 years later or something, 3 years later, Rusev drives a fucking tank. Sting has, you
Oh,
know,
fuck yeah.
a bunch of Sting drummers.
Yeah.
These people just come out, they're at the ring in 20 seconds. And
Yeah,
this
no,
ring is
they've.
a particularly bad ring. It's got those big, stupid palm trees.
Well, it's because it's in Florida, and they had to have that because it was actually raining that day. So, and this was the Mania where one of the main whatever attractions was the Ric Flair retirement match against Shawn Michaels.
No, because I believe we watched this match live. We watched this Mania live, and I don't
Did
remember that
we?
match.
Fucking hell.
This is
Maybe that was.
2012.
Oh.
That's
Well.
why, you know how I watched. This was the Mania that begins with Daniel
To
Bryan
fucking
losing in 8 seconds.
Sheamus. Okay. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah. I'm getting my, like,
And
weird palm tree
yeah.
mania all mixed up.
This
Sorry.
is how I
Sorry,
remember
listeners.
that. Everyone says that that match is solidified Daniel Bryan, made his career kind of. Not really made his career, but gave him that extra boost to the main event.
Yeah.
During this match, people are chanting Daniel Bryan and yes.
Yeah, they are. They
You
are
know, it's
actually.
not just the Raw after. They're doing it during this match, and I believe they did it during a lot of matches. So on that Menounos' entrance, She comes out. She's wrestler, or she's not a wrestler. She's injured. She's walking to with Kelly Kelly, and I wrote down. I practically didn't even see Kelly Kelly during that entrance. I was waiting for Kelly Kelly's entrance, right? Except for the fact that her music is atrocious. Menounos does a thing where she turns, like there's a kid who says or something to her, and she turns and cups her ear to him, and he like catcalls her or hoots at her or something. And then she
Sweet.
turns back and like grins, not at the camera or anything. I was like, that's pretty cute. Charisma is what we're talking about.
Charisma, yes.
This match, so you've got Kelly Kelly is the Divas champion? No, Beth Phoenix is.
Beth Phoenix is the Divas
Kelly
champion.
Kelly is a good guy diva. Beth Phoenix, the Glamazon, who does inhabit her character in a fun and interesting way, I believe, in how
And
she
is
moves and in how she her, you know, like just her whole persona is, I buy it. She's awesome, you know.
she was a revelation at the time of the Marias and the Maurices and the Kelly Kellys and, you
Yes.
know, whatever, Crystal or whoever the fuck. Like, she was legit independent wrestler. Really, really talented, worked really, really well with not just women, but also with men, because she had a program with Santino Marella as well.
Oh, yeah.
And also Beth Phoenix, married to Edge.
Yeah. And then we have Eve Torres, who I didn't really like. At this point, she's a bad guy. Later on, she has a thing where she's sort of dating Zack Ryder, and then Kane destroys Zack Ryder, and John Cena sort of steals Eve Torres from Zack Ryder in the act of defending him and fights Kane. It's really confusing.
But then Eve Torres turns on John Cena,
Oh, yeah.
and she's just like a huge, like, pardon my French, bitch.
Well, her
Like, just like,
character is.
yeah, her character is.
And
It's
then
just like,
she has the belt, she loses the belt, right? And then she retires. Yeah, I don't, I mean, maybe if we go back and watch an Eve Torres match, God forbid, it's not bad. Here, I didn't really buy her burgeoning heel character with Beth Phoenix. She twerks at one point, which is
she does twerk.
terrible, except it gives Menounos a chance to get a good kick in, you know, send her out of the ring.
Yeah. Her twerking proved to be her downfall.
Yes. So this match has a couple. I want to talk about a couple of the good things. A couple of good things are Kelly Kelly does some moves. She does a flip from the top rope.
She has like a flipping senton.
Yeah, it was cool. She does a bulldog counter out of Beth Phoenix's finisher, which
Yeah.
was cool. Kelly Kelly actually kind of impressed me from a wrestling standpoint a little. Like, she did more than I thought. But this match has the classic Divas tropes that we were talking about last time, where they smash the head and the shape and the hair makes it look like there's impact.
They
And
do
someone
the
almost does something cool and doesn't get to when Eve goes to do a moonsault.
Yep.
That when I was thinking about that watching this match, when she goes up and then she to do the moonsault and she gets out, I was like, Jason was right. Classic Divas move. Almost goes to do something cool and doesn't get to.
Yeah, totally.
But there is some confusing stuff in here, like missed cues or things they couldn't do, improving a little bit because of you know, Menounos is injured, and they you know, maybe they were like planning for 8 minutes, and on their way out they're like, you got four or something, you know what I mean?
I
It's a
think
very
that
brief
this is
match.
this was this seemed like a super sped up affair. Like
Yeah.
someone may have gone long in
Yeah.
the one of the earlier matches and someone had to get cut
Brian and
and
Sheamus went long.
Yeah.
This well, this has all the hallmarks of like popcorn match, except for its placement on the card, and well, in a long card, maybe they needed a mid-level, you know, middle of the card
About
popcorn
like
match. But it's not even long
45.
enough to get popcorn.
No, it was about 45 minutes in, and it only lasted about like 6 minutes or something like that. It was couldn't even go, you know, use the bathroom in that amount of time, or get to the
Yeah.
bathroom if you're in a huge arena. So it was this match was weird.
Yeah.
Overall, it was very weird. It was very strange. It's a strange match.
Maria Menounos does a wins for her team by rolling up Beth Phoenix,
Yes.
and with a like, or the least roly roll up. It's like a slam almost.
It's technically a schoolgirl.
Oh,
Roll
okay.
up.
But she like grabs her, and instead of like, and goes boom.
Well, Beth takes a big bump.
Yeah.
Just takes a big bump for Menounos.
Yeah. It's kind of nice.
Bump, bumping for Menounos.
I wrote down that I'm still a Menounos fan. I've watched this match at least twice in my life, and I'm still a fan.
But overall, about the match itself, how did you feel?
Here's what I think about this match. This match opens even before their the speediest entrances in WrestleMania history. Blink and you miss that the match is going to happen, right? There is like a 3-minute promo about what it means to be a diva in WWE.
Oh,
They might
Lord.
say the word fierce or something, but the whole promo is so sad. I'm so sad for these athletes. Even back then in the diva era, where it was models and stuff. So it starts off with the king talking about beautiful divas, and then the video package about the meaning of being a diva is like, we get to wear dresses and we're being paid to see the world. It's my dream come true. I get to walk red carpets. I'm going to premieres. It's all these women having to talk about all this bullshit, nothing about wrestling.
Yep. It's all about fame.
I was like, man, this sucks. Not I didn't think these women suck. I thought this sucks. This sucks that this was the world. And we watched this at the time. We did not like it, but gosh,
We had to watch it.
seeing where women's wrestling went even 2 years from this, let alone 5 now, is
Fucking 5 years.
bonkers, like people were saying like, man, Beth Phoenix, Hall of Fame inductee right now, right? This year. Is it too early, And I'm like, if she's not going to wrestle again,
No, she's not.
then what's too early? I mean, she missed it. She missed her era by, think of the cool shit she could have done 3 years after this.
Well,
It
who
bums
I
me
actually,
out.
no, it should, and it should, because you know who I think she's actually most like in the current diva landscape, as far as like an elder stateswoman,
Natty.
is Natty. She's the
Yeah.
Natty.
But she's, and
But she's different than Natty. She's actually like I prefer Beth Phoenix to
yeah.
Natty.
And Natty might know. I wouldn't be surprised if Natty was like a technically a better wrestler in terms of the moves she knows,
Sure.
I don't remember enough Beth Phoenix matches to comment on
Her skill.
her skill and her storytelling ability, but the
Sure.
way she moves, the roughest knock against Natty is how unnatural she moves.
Yeah.
To me, like, she kind of has this weird walk that just looks like artificial. And when she talks, I mean, Beth Phoenix doesn't talk here, but like when Beth Phoenix like did the flex thing and just the way she moved around the ring, you buy it immediately. You're not like,
Yeah.
something's off here, something's weird, And
Well,
like Nakamura moves super weird, just off the top of my head.
yeah.
He's totally idiosyncratic in how he moves, but it's not awkward,
Yeah.
It's awkward in the sense that it's weird and bizarre and throws off his opponents, but you're never like, why is the... You're not like put off by it. It draws you in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The way Natty just has a thing, and I think she's a good enough and skilled enough and talented enough performer that she covers for it a lot. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure,
But
sure. Yeah, no.
sometimes you still pick it up.
Well, what I was actually going to say is that
Sorry.
at this time, like it's really interesting because TNA's women's division was actually way stronger than the Divas division in the WWE.
Oh.
And they were eventually, I remember the big rumor mill at this time was that Awesome Kong was coming.
Yeah.
And she was going to fight
Karma.
Beth Phoenix. Yeah, and she was coming as Karma, and she was going to fight Beth Phoenix. And that was like the epic women's wrestling
Yeah.
showdown that everyone wanted to see.
She
Like,
came.
that's. She did come, but
She
she
was
was in
gone.
and out. Her run's weird.
Yeah. Gail Kim was just tweeting about how the women's revolution started earlier in TNA.
It did.
This match, what can we say about this match that we've probably said 3 or 4 times as much as anyone who wasn't in this match has said about it ever, you know?
I think that the main takeaway for me here is that it reminded me of how much I actually enjoyed Beth Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I was surprised by the moves that Kelly Kelly was able to pull
Yeah.
off. That was it. Overall, did I enjoy the match?
I enjoyed watching it for this podcast and thinking about it while I watched it.
Yes. I agree.
I enjoyed,
I can get down with that.
there were pleasant surprises for me. I didn't
Yeah.
go into this match thinking like, "Ooh, this is going to be a good match," and then walk out going, "What? I'm bu whoa." You know, what bummed me out was the context of the match. I feel like with what they're given to work with, this wasn't the worst. You mix these ingredients up in a cup, and I think this was better than it could have been. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Also, the crowd was kind of tough.
Crowd didn't give a shit.
And there's a thing early in the match. First of all, Maria and KK, I abbreviated in my notes, and now I just read that out loud like a moron. Maria and Kelly, me and KK go way back. We're like this, man. I'm crossing my fingers. No, me and Kelly, Maria and Kelly do a double stink
Oh, like
face.
a.
My
Oh, it's.
least favorite move, which
I
King.
call it a dual booty blast.
Dual. That's
And.
even better because King calls it a sweet face, which really grossed me out. But then I was afraid. I wrote, "Am I just a version of King right now? Talking about Menounos like this?"
Yeah.
But I hate.
There's a lot of ass action. There's the dual booty blast, then there's the twerk. And then there's a senton,
Well,
you know.
there's a skid mark chant because Eve's makeup rubs off on Menounos' pants. And that bummed me
Oh.
out because I was like, that's not a knock on Menounos. It's a knock on Eve's spray tan or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
Don't watch the video pack. If you watch this match, don't watch the Beautiful Divas video package. Okay. We did it. I'm
I think we did
fuck it.
it.
I have not been upset at any match we've watched. I'm holding strong to my streak.
Oh shit. So you like this? You're going on record that you like KK and Maria versus fucking Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres. You're putting this
What?
down in the books. We're putting it in the
Oh,
books. That's what we're doing?
can I be neutral?
I think you like this match. I
There
think you're
is.
about to be like, you know what? I really like this match.
Well, here's the thing. On paper, I would say, and I don't want to insult the competitors,
Yeah.
I think they all have done better or know they could have done better in different circumstances. Right?
Yep.
On paper, there's no way anyone could like this match. That's what I walked out of this thinking. Right?
Yeah.
If there was a mathematical equation for wrestling matches, this one is in the negative. The result of it, right? I'm not
Match
talking
is
out of
in the
school
red.
here. This
This
match is in
match
the
is.
red. But fuck it. I like Menounos enough to give to say I enjoyed seeing her out there wrestling, and I enjoyed Kelly surprising me, and I enjoyed the little story they put together in the small amount of time they were given. So, with the caveat of no one should probably spend time going to watch this match unless they like the people in it. I like this match. I said it. I said it.
It's in the fucking books.
Mark it
It's in the
down.
books. Mark it down.
The ledger of 3 out of 3 falls. Okay.
Well, shall we
Now,
move to the third fall?
yes, match number 3, which is Goldust versus the Ultimate Warrior from King, no, the King of the Ring tournament qualifiers, Raw 161, May 27th, 1996.
Now, before we get started with this shit, what the hell? Can the random match generator even do this? We've seen this match
Yes,
before.
we talked about this match a few episodes ago. The random match generator gave it to us again. What are the odds? What are the fucking
Well,
odds? The whole network. The whole network.
since we had to watch this again, I kept my eye on Goldust, aka greatest of all time.
That's great because I kept my eye on the commentary. I took a whole bunch more notes, right?
Yeah.
We'll see what we can get to. I gotta say though, the way this match starts, the way this Raw starts, we talked about it last time. It
It's
is
like in
so bizarre.
mid-caress.
It's just like, imagine you were watching a rerun of Wings or Pac
Fucking,
Blue
or like
or
Matt Nash Bridges or some shit.
that was CBS, I believe. No,
Oh shit.
Nash Bridges, was that on USA?
I think it was syndicated on fucking USA as well.
You're watching the tail end of Renegade with Lorenzo Lamas. And boom, credits, boom, commercial, right?
Yes.
And then, all of a sudden, there is a not great shaped man
And like gold sausage casing kind of
in
outfit.
a tight gold like PVC suit, a golden and white gimp suit with a wig on,
He's caressing himself.
caressing himself with a black background and like sparkly lights and glitter.
And he's the Intercontinental Champion.
And he's got a big gold belt on, and a weird little lady, golden lady, comes up and takes the belt, and then the guy takes his wig off. That's like the 3 seconds of that. Boom. You were just enjoying Nash Bridges. You got up. You got, a
Got a
brewski
fucking yeah, you got a
out
brewski,
of the. Got
you
some
got some
chips.
chips.
Bringing your bag of Fritos back to the old reclining chair, and then all of a sudden that. And then a weird man, gravelly voiced man, starts yelling at you about the man they call the Warrior, the Ultimate Warrior.
It's fucking comic book.
We could do a whole thing on that, man. God forbid we ever have to. But it was just out. It brought me right in. Something about the beginning of this match just hooked me right again. Because I was
Well,
like, fuck it, I gotta watch this stupid match again? Not that it's stupid, I loved this match last time we watched it. It took us deep into the greatest of all time episode about the greatest of all time wrestler.
yeah, fuck yeah.
But man, whew.
It's pretty intense. Now,
I wrote down this house show somehow got televised. Because the lighting is so
it's
bizarre.
fucked up.
And
Well,
it just, the looks, the
it's the
arena looks
special
like.
it's the special Memorial Day edition of Raw, is what Vince says. It's a very strange Raw just in general. It's still only an hour long for Raw at this time. Since I did have to, like you, watch this match again, I kept my eyes on Goldust, greatest of all time, again. I noticed that for a larger dude, Goldust takes a lot of insane bumps.
He
Like, high risk over the top rope, like in the air, over the railing,
Yeah.
like bumps. And it looks like in his like weird gold sausage casing PVC outfit, he's got like this huge like knee brace.
His knee braces scare the shit out of me, man.
Yeah.
Through, you can see it through the, man.
It's like
Also,
a fucking, it's like a fucking, it's like the one Steve Austin used to wear.
yeah. He, on top of that, so he's got a huge knee brace on. He's taking these huge bumps.
Yeah.
The world that they build around this match is just bizarre, right? They're talking about the previous night before was an In Your House pay-per-view, and there's a power
Beware,
outage.
beware of dog. There was
There's
a
a.
huge power outage. There was a huge storm that took place. I think it was
Yeah.
in like South Carolina or something like that.
Yeah.
I actually, it was funny. I used to, in one room in my house growing up, I had an old like UHF television where you could mess with the signal that was coming in. This was like pre like the huge signal boxes. Like I figured out that on channel 99, that's when they would typically broadcast. That's where they would typically broadcast the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
So I would mess with the UHF signal on that channel, and I could usually like, what do you, whatever, decode the signal, and I could watch it. I could
That's
watch
awesome.
pay-per-views. They were typically in black and white, but that didn't matter. And most of the time, they would have commentary, but I remembered watching the Beware of Dog in Your House, and literally 2 matches in, 3 matches in, lights go out in the middle of the Savio Vega Steve Austin strap
Oh,
match.
yeah.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
So they say that the night after this, Raw, they're gonna finish the In Your House pay-per-view
Yeah,
and
and
broadcast it.
Goldust is fighting The Undertaker
Yeah,
in a casket match.
Goldust has to fucking have this match, take all these bumps from Warrior. He's got a casket match the next night,
Yeah.
right? And on the other side of that is they mentioned multiple times that this is a rematch from Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh, boy.
How are you supposed to fucking know that? And they mentioned it multiple times. They keep referencing Omaha. I'm like, what happened in Omaha? It's like in Escape from LA where they talk to Snake Plissken and they're like, I thought you died in Cleveland. I haven't seen you since Cleveland. Like in between Escape from New York and Escape from LA, he escaped from Cleveland. Like some unknown thing happened in Cleveland. They keep referencing it. That's what Omaha is here. And I'm like, it actually tied into the comic book stuff. You just mentioned we've mentioned comic book stuff earlier, right?
Yeah.
And we talked last time we had to watch this match about this kind of being Warrior promoting his comic book. Vince says that Warrior is a true to life comic book hero, and then goes into plugging the comic book.
He also mentions, well, A, that it is the number one comic book
Okay,
like in the world,
I
and
researched that.
also that the warrior has a self-belief system.
Okay, I wrote this down, this whole thing down.
Okay.
First of all, Vince plugging the comic book is frightening. Hearing him talk about this is just so out of control. It's
Yeah.
Warrior's insane mythology. He says it's the number one comic book in the nation. And side note, both it's like they picked Goldust to fight him because Goldust looks like a comic book character too.
Oh yeah,
He's in a
totally.
comic book character suit, you know?
Yeah.
So great idea there. Great mini feud with Warrior to plug a
Yeah.
comic.
Yeah, totally.
Was the comic really the number one selling comic back then? I'm gonna say no. So back then, you could still buy comics on the newsstand, but
Yeah.
newsstand comics were dwindling. most comics were sold to specialty stores, comic shops.
Comic shops.
Especially comics, I would say, like the Warriors comic from a small press, right?
Yeah,
If you're going to a
definitely.
newsstand, you're going to find your Marvels and your DCs. You're going to find Archie. You're not going to find a lot of.
You're not gonna find like Dark Horse comics or
No, you
like
probably found
Image.
maybe some Image stuff at that point. I don't know.
Yeah.
96? Maybe 90. I don't remember. 94. But probably not. And especially not fucking Ultimate Comics or whatever the Warriors line was, right?
Yeah.
So. Also, right now there's kind of like a monopoly on single issue comic sales. There's a distributor called Diamond who like does all of them. Back then there were a couple. There's Diamond, there was one called Heroes World, which Marvel was exclusive to at that point.
Okay.
And there was one for like until late 96. And then there was another one that sold mostly indie stuff. Diamond ends up buying both of them, I believe, combines their rankings. So I couldn't find Hero World selling data from 96. But I was
Whoa.
able to find Diamonds. So, according to Diamond Distributors data from May of 96 when Warrior One came out, in the rankings of comic sales,
Yes.
and this doesn't include Marvel Comics, some of the top-selling comics, because they were exclusive to another distributor.
Sure.
Warrior One was the 180th best-selling comic of the month.
Oh, it's number eight. It's not even like, oh, it's number 18.
It's extremely lower on the list than multiple 30 or 40 comic book series I've never heard of, and I'm a big comic book guy. That's how it's not the number one selling comic in America. Just a total lie from Vince McMahon.
Just pure shill.
Also, Vince says after the King makes fun of Warrior's mental capacity, Vince says he would certainly beg to differ about that, about the Warrior and his brains. You should read his comic book. It's about the world of distressicity, or no, distressicity, which is a
Yeah.
combination of the word destruction and city. It's like a city, a destroyed. I don't know.
Destrucity.
Distrucity, the world of
Yeah.
Distrucity. King chimes
Wow.
in, "Who read it to you?" Which is great. And then Vince says, he continues, "The Warrior's own self-belief system and the Warrior," and this is all exclamation points. "The Warrior's own self-belief system, and the Warrior believes in himself and his warriors and the Warrior world. More on that later as well. And the Warrior now trying to achieve the power necessary to reverse this hold." Couple things about that. The hold is just Gold Dust squatting on Warrior's head and neck, which is hilarious. It's a great still frame.
Oh my God.
And on top of that, more on that later as well. Vince planned later in this episode of Raw to talk more about the Warrior world and the world of distrucity.
Actually have the fucking definition of distrucity here that I can read
It
you.
better be setting of Warriors comic.
Well, here we go. In its design, Distrucity represents a constellation existing in the heavens,
Wait,
which symbolize this
is
is
this
the
a
fucking
definite? Hold on.
internet.
Is this the definition of Distrucity in Warriors mythology, or is Distrucity like a concept that existed before Warrior?
No, this
Thank
is the
God.
fucking warrior. The warrior
Thank God.
lost his mind and made up a word called
Yes.
Distrucity.
Duh.
So, Distrucity from the top. In its design, Distrucity represents a constellation existing in the heavens, which symbolizes the, quote, eight disciplines by which warriors choose to live their lives. Brought to existence by the destinies of those willing to die for their beliefs, brought to exist as a place where people live by belief in the evolution of their higher selves, constantly evolving toward a completion of their chosen destiny, all with strength in the denial of system beliefs. the very beliefs that amplify differences and create rights, wrongs, judgments, and opinions of people, places, and things.
Man, that is even weirder than this match and its ending. Holy shit.
It's pretty fucking crazy. It's pretty crazy. So, Destrucity.
So,
And then we got fucking Ahmed Johnson.
yeah. So Ahmed Johnson comes out. Gold Dust is like, fuck this. I got a casket match tomorrow. I don't even want to ring
Out of
win
here.
King of the Ring that much. This
Yeah.
maniac from the world of Destrucity, who believes in himself so much, is just not worth fighting.
Yeah.
Goldust goes to leave. Ahmed Johnson comes out. Listeners of this podcast will note neither of us are fans of Ahmed Johnson. Comes out in a baseball cap, carrying Goldust back to the ring.
He did. He fucking picked him up and put him back in the ring.
So
Do
here's
you
here
no.
Goldust is
No, go ahead.
feuding. Goldust is fighting Ultimate Warrior, who he's in a mini feud with based on the events of Omaha. He's got a pay-per-view match with Undertaker. And his arch nemesis at the time is Ahmed Johnson. Goldust can't catch a fucking break.
He can't catch a fucking break. He cannot. He's in the midst of three never-ending
Juggling three
feuds.
feuds with three of the top stars in the biz because he's the greatest.
Yeah. And he's the Intercontinental Champion. He's
Yeah.
probably headlining house shows.
Everyone's gunning for that belt.
Everybody's gunning for that big white belt. Hey, do you remember when Ahmed Johnson came into WCW
We
as a member
talked about this
of the New
on the
Harlem Heat?
previous. You
Did
don't
we?
remember that?
Fuck, man.
Yeah,
No, I
he was
don't
super
remember that.
fat.
Yeah,
His name
big
was
old
like Big
fat.
T.
Yeah, Big T, as in.
Tony? I'm pretty sure his name's Tony. I'm not kidding.
Big tone. Big tone.
Yeah.
So this, even though we've mentioned this before, this match, like for a Warrior match, this really isn't bad at all. And for a Goldust match, this is pretty awesome because Goldust is awesome, greatest of all time.
Second time watching this now. I love this match. This match
Yeah.
was great. It doesn't. There's things that don't make sense. So Ahmed Johnson brings Goldust back. It's meant to establish. They say that Goldust. There's no escape. If he
No.
tries to leave again, Ahmed will just bring him back. So here's how the match
No escape.
ends. Goldust goes towards the entrance, down up the ramp, not even a ramp, to catch his breath. And then Warrior comes after him, and Goldust is like, fuck it, I'm gonna leave.
Yeah.
Ahmed Johnson's not there anymore, and he just leaves. They both get counted out. So
But
they did
then,
all that stuff where Ahmed brings him back to establish that Ahmed's there, and Goldust, you can't leave, you can't escape this beating,
yeah.
only to 10 minutes later have him leave. And just ignore that occurred. Big
Well,
T
you
was in
know
the
what?
back eating a hoagie, missed his cue, and Goldust is just like, guess we're done.
Yeah, I guess we're fucking done. But then we also have this weird moment
Oh,
where
the
Jerry
best
Lawler
moment
grabs
ever.
a chair
He
to
says
hit the
he's
Warrior.
going after Marlena. He thinks Warrior is chasing Marlena, and King grabs a chair and chases him to protect Marlena.
But then he chickens out. He doesn't even hit him with the chair. He just like comes back to the
Well,
ring.
Marlena left.
Oh.
He saved Marlena.
Again, Jerry Lawler, horn dog,
He's
perv
great.
supreme. He is great.
He's really good in this. There's a thing I wanted to talk about, maybe as a capper on this, unless you have a bunch more. And we could talk about, I guess we just talked about that. We just said we both really like this match. We talked a lot about the wrestling last time, and how. Talking about characters and charisma, these guys both. I mean, the Warrior is practically insane. Like,
I mean,
legit.
Destrucity.
The warrior's all up in you know, mentally he's off in Distrucity, right?
Yeah.
And Goldust is just the king of inhabiting a character, right?
Yeah,
And they
totally.
both have a ton of charisma, and it just works. And the way that they sell every little fucking move, man,
Yeah,
it's
dude.
there's a hilarious moment where Goldust distracts the ref by just going, "Hey, hey," and points to someone in the crowd, and the ref looks, and he gets a low blow in. The way they all play that off,
Yeah,
and
no, it's awesome.
oh, back to the world building thing. Sorry, I missed this before. When that happens, Vince goes, "The official apparently not seeing it, and I must say the officiating has been somewhat suspect as of late, and under great scrutiny as of late as well here in the World Wrestling Federation." That and the stuff about Omaha, it's like in a
It's
comic
fucking
book
weird.
where you
It's
have
fucking
comic book
weird.
continuity, and there'll be like a little. Like they'll reference something, and then there'll be that little box with the asterisks and say, like, "In Thor 275, true believers, you remember, right?" or something. And it's like
Yeah.
back then it was hard to find necessarily all the, but you if you were reading X-Men and you're in, you know, issue 220, you don't have all of the issues of X-Men,
No.
but you don't need to, because comics built a world where when it was done right, you didn't need to know obsessively the continuity. You could start at any point, and the fact that there was this history, there were all of these Omahas, for example. There were these, you know, like Vince talking about how the officiating is not great, doesn't need to be its own story at this point in WWE. It could just be like when the X-Men are going through a big crossover like Inferno, and all the other comics in the Marvel Universe, they don't need to tie in directly, but all of them that take place in New York reference the heat and the weird side effects, you know? It creates this world. And so watching this, I was thinking about comic books, even outside of Warrior's comic book thing, and Vince plugging the comic. Like, he's plugging the comic, but he's also writing it, he's doing the world building that.
He's writing it. He's right. He's it's the way things exist within the WWF or WWE and that universe is independent of the actual normal world.
Yes.
Anything is possible within the WWE universe.
But the
WWF.
attention to detail, that's what's so great about those comics, to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's what is a thing that makes this match extra good, you know?
I can get behind
The
that.
detail in the world, and that in each of these characters, each of these performers and the characters that they're inhabiting, even if one is batshit crazy. But the capper I talked about a minute ago was that we talked last time how about the beginning of the Attitude Era, and how I was starting to think like this is kind of the beginning, you know? It's the lead up to Austin 316 says, "I just kicked your ass." And we have a very comic booky match with goofy moments. And I didn't catch this last time, but this match, it cuts from the match immediately to Stone Cold in the back.
Oh yeah, because they got to talk about the strap match that
Yeah.
no one could see last night.
And the next thing you see after this match ends is Stone Cold.
Yeah,
It
yeah.
really made me go, whoa, like we're going someplace so different from Distrucity?
Distrucity.
From Distrucity. We left the world of Distrucity, and now we're going to the world of Steve Weiser's. It was just such a, I was like, whoa. Like it totally took me out. Anyway,
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, I'm a little perturbed that we obviously we don't talk about it because we can't talk too much about the random match generator and you know it feeds us matches. We talk about it. It's a little perturbed we got this match again, but if we I mean we could have got Maurice and Maria again.
Yeah, we could have gotten Maurice and Maria again. At least it was
And
at
hey, I
least
like
kind
that
enough.
match.
Yeah. At least it was kind enough to give us, greatest of all time
When I
versus
turned this
the
match
Warrior.
on to watch, I was like, This is not a short match.
No, it's like 15 minutes long.
Right? I was like,
Yeah.
great. Here goes 15 more minutes of my life. I probably spent 25 with all the pausing and transcribing and typing of notes I was
Sure.
doing. I kind of like that we had to watch this again.
Well, it facilitated us being able to watch it in a different way. I mean,
Yeah.
hopefully we won't, maybe hope I don't want
I mean,
I'm gonna
if
knock
we
I'm
get
gonna
any
knock
more
on wood.
repeats from the generator, we gotta talk to someone. But I feel like it could have been worse.
Could have been
The
worse.
odds of it of getting a match twice are so slim that I just don't think it can happen again. And if we do get it again, it could be, for the hard way.
It could be
Do you want
for
to
the
watch
hard
For
way.
the Hard Way again? Nah, I
My
don't.
God, I kind of do, actually.
Pick it.
Yeah, maybe I will. Maybe I will.
One day you're gonna, be sending me your pick, and you're gonna be like, today just seems like a For the Hard Way day.
It's got to be a for the hard way day. But well,
That's it.
that's good. That's good. That's great.
We did it. We did another episode. Hey, thanks for listening, listeners. Oh, we forgot to talk about the Tumblr account. Go to tootf.tumblr.com. You should have before this, so you could watch the matches and stuff and get our little intro spiel. If you're subscribing to, on iTunes or a podcast app or something, thank you. Keep listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks, and we hope you enjoyed.
Yeah, see you guys in 2 weeks.
See you guys later. All right. We did it.
We did it.